Can you still hear me?
I say I, you say ain't. When I say yo, you say oh.
I ain't yo.
Ho.
I ain't yo.
Ho.
Wow, that was really good. We were pretty in sync.
Put your back into it. Come on.
Was that from the Dangerous Minds soundtrack?
Yes, it was.
Oh, my gosh.
The only good thing about Dangerous Minds was the soundtrack.
Listen, Sam, I'm sorry about
this. I don't even know what Dangerous Minds is.
Okay, see that.
The year was 1995. The film Dangerous Minds.
Minds were dangerous.
Can this middle-aged white woman infiltrate the urban school? Yeah, you know Coolio. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize that nothing left. You know that song, right?
My mom knows every word to that song.
Yeah, that was from Dangerous Minds.
Oh, okay.
Then I did that song for
you.
That
know
film.
That's unheard of.
Yeah, Shelley loves it.
Sitting here on the red couch, my name is Brant Boersma. With me is Sam Moore. We're talking about passion. Project volleyball. Boom. Did you wink?
Yeah.
Good job.
I did.
This might not be politically correct or whatever. How old are you?
I'm 23.
How long have you been playing volleyball for?
I think my mom probably, I think she played when she was pregnant with me. So.
You were playing in the womb?
In womb, yeah.
Literally born to ball.
In utero. Ooh, BTB.
Right?
I like that. Like,
man.
That could be my new Instagram handle, BTB.
BTB. I think it should be.
Mm-hmm.
B2B.
Just like give me the photo cred.
That used to be the hashtag of my track team, beat the boys.
Oh.
On my college track team.
Did you guys
team.
Ever beat the boys?
Personally, yeah. No.
I feel like you could though.
It depends. It's event specific, I think, you know?
Sorry, I digress.
My mom started the volleyball program, the youth program, in fourth grade. So you're going for a serve. If you can get a serve over the net, you will be a national champion in fourth grade.
Could you serve it over the net?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not. I mean, the balls are like beach balls.
Would
you
go underhand?
No.
Oh, overhand, always. Mm-hmm.
The new thing now is to teach little kids when they're not strong enough to overhand serve it, to jump serve it overhand, because then they use the momentum of their approach. You don't ever really want to start off with an underhand serve.
Now, are you still playing?
I played in like an adult league in Portland. I can't play too often, but I play in tournaments like around the Everett and Seattle area. I coach still.
Tell me about your volleyball journey.
Well, my mom played in college. She was a two-time national champion and All-American.
Wow.
Yeah, so she dabbled in it. I got really serious about it in middle school, and my mom started a club team for me.
Club team, is that like just so it's not for the school?
It's a different season, so you play like winter and spring.
Okay.
And then it's just tournament ball, essentially. When I got to high school, I was super blessed. My parents drove me to my freshman year to Portland twice a week to Beaverton, which is about 3 hours away. And then my sophomore through my senior year, they drove me to Eugene twice a week for club practice. So my teams were based out of Portland and Eugene. And then we would travel twice a month to tournaments. One of them would be like a local power league. Yeah. And then one of them was a national qualifier. If you want to like get recruited to play college, you play a club in high school most commonly.
Was there ever a point where it just kind of was like, I cannot stand volleyball anymore?
No. It's like walking into a gym is like, it's like a sanctuary, man. You just leave everything at the door. My mom would always, she'd be like, are you sure you love it? I don't want to push you into it. Like, and I was like, Mom, stop. Like, this is me. This is, you know, I'm Sam Moore, the volleyball player. That's it. That's all she wrote. I was put here to play volleyball. I'm viciously competitive. I like everything.
That's why you tried to take Shane's head off. That's good.
But
learn that, son.
So tough. Look at him over there.
Son? Only, do you feel that there's a possibility that Shane might have found a little bit of passion today?
He got after it. We switched roles. So I started playing defense and he started hitting. And I saw a light in his eye, no doubt.
The
he got
light
after
in his
it.
Eye was that when he got hit in the face with the ball. there was a light in his eye. Well, there was a lot of lights. He was seeing
volleyball.
Stars, let's just say that much.
You know, honestly, we should have put him into the concussion protocol.
I know, there's a good chance.
He shouldn't be here right now. Like, we could get sued.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're not allowed to play anymore, Shane. You know that. So going from playing in elementary school, playing in middle school, playing in high school, now you went on and played at the next level of it. Was there a noticeable difference in, you know, the gameplay?
Holy sugar, it's so humbling.
Holy sugar, that's a good one.
You go from being the top player on your team, in your conference, in your state, And then you go to the, you know, the top level of the collegiate game and you're a drill killer.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, we got to get to 20. You're the one who drops it at 18. And you're like, what am I doing with my life?
Right. Yeah.
Like, I thought I had this volleyball thing down. It's so overwhelming. It's a level that, you know, you've never played at and you're there to produce. And if you don't, you know, there's people waiting in the wings to do it.
Now, did you play all throughout college then?
Mm-hmm. So I started at University of Portland and I played 2 years there. And then I transferred to Western Oregon and finished my career there and did track. I was looking at playing post-college, but I had to get a second knee surgery after my senior year, my senior spring.
A second knee surgery? What?
Yeah. So my freshman year in college, we were playing a home conference game against BYU and I was really sad at the back row and jumped up to set a ball that was like 50-50 on the net. And I brought it back. And then when I came down and a girl's foot was right in front of mine and mine had nowhere to go. So I just popped it right there. So I dislocated my patella and tore my patellar cartilage and my MCL and my medial meniscus and cracked my femur. And
oh my gosh. Yeah, so I was that like, all in one
in like a
hop.
Split second, man. And it was crazy. I like stood up and I walked off the court. I was like, I think I need a sub.
I hear like when you get that broke off.
Yeah.
You don't really feel it.
You totally don't.
Your body kind of goes like into shock.
I mean, I don't know what your vertical is, but
it was pretty up there back in the day.
48 inch.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I was like, okay, Sam Moore's coming in. We're going to, okay, what does she do? Oh, she's a volleyball player. And I think Mark pulled up your Facebook and there's like a sand volleyball picture, I think, right? Was that on Facebook?
Yeah, you're
or
like
something?
8 feet in the
and,
air.
Yeah. And so we're like, oh, look in the room and scrolling. And all of a sudden Shane's like, wait, go back.
Shane's like,
he's like, go back to
terror.
The sand jump. And he's like, that's who I have to do volleyball with. She's got like hops, bro. You went in, had to get surgery, obviously. I mean,
it was gnarly. They said that the only reason I didn't snap my femur is because my quads were so strong. But
track.
Yeah, I was pretty high up in the air when when I busted it. And they told him I went in the locker room and they were like, put this circle on your kneecap, just pull up the sleeve. And I was like, I felt my knee. I was like, I don't know where my kneecap is, man. It's gone.
Oh my gosh.
Like on the side of my leg. I was like, dang. So I went in, I had my first microfracture surgery. I was out for 9 months.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I came back my sophomore season. But it was really interesting though, because going in, I was an English major.
Yeah.
And going through my first surgery and everything, I was like, I love like this anatomy talk. I love like this surgery talk. And I changed to biology. And it was like, it was a huge blessing in just in that aspect alone. I was just a straight bio student at Portland. And I was like learning about plants and animals. I was like, dang, this is really not the bio that I'm into,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I don't really care about plants as much as I should.
Right.
And so I called my mom and I was like, Mom, I want to transfer. She was like, all right, go tell your coaches. So I told my coaches. It was pretty sad because I committed when I was really young.
Yeah.
My strength coaches there are kind of the reason I got my career back. I mean, my doctor told me, it's your choice if you want to keep playing, but I wouldn't.
Good luck, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And so my strength coaches gave me my career back at Portland and at Western. And then I was looking at running my fifth year and getting a master's. And I went into the doctor to have him look at my knee. And he's like, I don't really know what's going on here, but your first surgery just didn't work. You know Greg Oden?
Yeah.
Greg Oden and I had the same knee surgery.
Oh,
R.I.P. Yeah. Greg Oden.
Yeah, well,
I mean, not
just,
he's alive.
R.I.P. Greg Oden.
He's alive.
No, dude, I feel it.
But I mean, like, dude, we're Blazers fans, so Brant and I know the sting of Greg Oden.
Yeah,
we
all too well. Who did we choose Greg Oden over? You know,
I think some guy named Kevin Durant.
It.
Who's that guy?
Kevin Durant.
Anyways,
Blazers. Whoops.
But so you had the same knee surgery.
Yeah, so we both had microfractures of our patellas, I think, is what he had. And so my doctor just said it didn't work. So let's go in and again. Let's clean it up. Let's shave it off. He's like, I need a full knee replacement.
In your life.
Pretty soon, I think.
Really?
I don't have any patellar cartilage. My medial meniscus is kind of shot. My femur has, you know, some stuff on it. It just happens.
Yeah.
Like it happened to Greg Oden.
So you still slayed the intern on a bad knee.
Yeah.
How's that make you feel,
I'm
Shane?
What I'm hearing is that a knee that needs replacing basically smoked the intern today.
Yeah.
And what are you doing at Dutch Bros now?
So after I got my second surgery, and I called my mom and I was like, Mom, I think I'm going to move home. She's like, okay, move home. So I moved back to Newport. And my parents were like, wow, we're so happy to have you, but wow, you need a job. I was like, yes. And they really wanted me to be a substitute teacher, but I was in a pretty tough spot. Like, I just wasn't feeling great about anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's the most stoked, happiest place I know? Dutch Bros. So I called up the manager of Dutch Bros, a girl I went to high school with in Lincoln City. And I was like, Al, I'm moving home. Do you think she could give me an interview? She was like, sure. she hired me. It was great. And that's where I started working at LCDB, man.
I mean, you and I have met at Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
And so you moved from Lincoln City. Where'd you go? What was next?
Yeah. So I got an internship coaching, a strength and conditioning coaching at UP.
With the same coaches that kind of did that for you.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
They're like some of the smartest people I know.
Yeah,
they're awesome. And so called Teal. Yeah. And I was like, I heard you guys are opening up a Dutch Bros. I work in Lincoln City. I got this coaching job. And I was wondering if, you know, I could have an interview. So I drove up to Portland and she hired me on the spot. And it was so cool getting to meet Teal for the first time. And Lloyd didn't even have counters.
Yeah.
It was So I moved up there in January of 2016. And I worked at Lloyd until August.
What happened in August?
In August, I got an offer to go coach volleyball for the in Prineville. At Crook County High School.
No way.
Because, you know, you don't really coach high school volleyball for the money.
No.
Yeah, it's for the heart.
Yes.
Yeah, to it's mold the minds
of
tomorrow.
The game, man.
Yeah. Woo. So I got the opportunity to work in Bend, and I worked in Bend and coached volleyball and loved it. It was awesome. So then I called Teal, and I was like, Teal, volleyball season's over. It's great, but I know this is crazy. I didn't really love living in Bend.
Yeah, this
people kind of lose their mind when I say that. And I was like, Teal, man, I just don't think this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And she's like, I think you're supposed to be in Everett. Yeah. So I was like, all right. So
Master recruiter.
Yeah.
Teal Anderson.
Teal let me live on her couch for a month in a 500 square foot squirrel's nest.
Yeah.
It's tiny. And I moved up there. And so I'm working up in Everett. And I know a lot of the Seattle volleyball community. So I'm playing in some tournaments. I just got hooked up to help coach for a club team up there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Going from player to coach.
Yeah. Making the player to coach transition is honestly really hard.
Yeah.
I coached all through college. I coached club teams. I coached cowgirl camp. But I think the thing that helped me the most was my injury. Because when you are still a player, you're in a totally different mindset.
Right.
And it's like, I can just do it for you. Just watch me do it.
Right.
And some kids learn great like that. And some kids need to make 1,000, like my boyfriend needs to make 1,000 mistakes on the football field to be able to do it right.
Yeah,
and that's just, you know, that's how some kids learn.
Yeah.
And so having my injury choose the end of my career for me helped me a ton.
Totally.
Because it's like, you're at peace with it, you know?
Right.
And I got to keep playing for 3 more years. And so it did humble me a lot.
It's got to be super frustrating and super, you know, disappointing and depressing. What was some of the ways that you kind of dealt with those emotions?
It was hard. It was really hard. But after I got my second surgery and I moved home, I was like, I'm a college graduate living in my parents' basement, rent free. I don't have a job. I'm like, what am I doing? And it was a super dark time. And so I think I leaned a lot on my family. I leaned a lot on Dutch Bros. I worked a ton. I loved it. And I had to walk away from the game for a while.
Yeah,
I didn't play for probably 8 months. Didn't really go in the gym. And then I was like back with Teal, working with Teal. She was like, man, you got to get back. You got to do it again. And I was like, who are you? Why is
She's
your name
amazing.
A color? You know? And
you're my favorite.
And so she kind of flipped the script on me. And I remember when I told her, I was like, you know, I got this job to leave and go to Bend and coach. And she's like, you got to do it. You got to keep it in your life, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that I need volleyball more than volleyball needs me, but I'm okay with that.
When you're in that place, it's super helpful to be around people that will bring you up.
Yes.
You know? And so knowing that, you know, is a huge deal.
Yeah.
Life never is really what you expect it to be. It's kind of crazy. You
yeah.
know? Sometimes you luck out and things go your way, and a lot of times it doesn't. You
yeah.
know? And just to have that kind of common sense is pretty incredible. Do you do anything do you do yoga or anything like that?
I'm still big into lifting. I still lift a lot. Teal has yet to lift with me, but I have done yoga before. We got to be for up, you know?
Can you imagine just Teal if she was just actually tough?
Just yoga.
Okay, come on.
Oh my God.
She's such a sweetie, you know?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now she's strong. So, I mean, she's a strong spirit.
Hey,
yes.
I think she was named after a color because she brings brightness to us all.
Oh, jeez.
I love that.
Mark Berry is always going to be trying to make things right with Teal because he has wronged her.
I did.
You did? Yes.
It's a different,
it's
we don't
a whole
need to get
story.
Into
we won't
it.
Go there, but Mama Squirrel knows I love her.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Yeah. She does.
I love her too. My kids love her. I don't know. I mean, I've yet to meet someone that has anything bad to say about her.
Truly.
So that's good.
Wait, I gotta throw one thing out there. Tell us about when you had dreadlocks.
You had dreadlocks, huh?
Yeah, I had dreadlocks for 5 years.
I had dreadlocks for 6 weeks. Everything's 6 weeks in my life. How'd you keep them for 5 years?
Well, I was 15 and I was like, Mom, Dad, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, parents.
I was like, I really
want dreads. Like, yeah. And my mom was like, no.
Yeah.
My dad was like, come here. So I always had the state track meet and a tournament in Seattle, a volleyball tournament the same weekend. My dad was like, if you make finals, which is top eight in the state in three of the events that you go in, and then you don't miss any of your serves, like, I'll let you get dreadlocks. Because I had gotten one underneath and not told them. Yeah, that was like the most reckless thing I have ever done in high school.
What a rebel.
Yeah. And so I was like, deal.
Yeah.
So I did it and I finished it. And I went to my neighbor Carlia's house and I came home and my mom was like, they're puffy. And then she went to bed. And I was like, okay, cool. And so I had them for 5 years. I got them cut off when I was a junior in college. I was just kind of, they were so long, like almost in my belly button.
Oh, man.
And they were so heavy. And they, like, my teammates would get mad because they like him in the face and they would hit me in the face. And we were in Fairbanks, Alaska, like rural Alaska.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I want to cut off my dreads. And my coach was like, cut them off. He did not. Yeah. I don't think he was a fan. And so he was like, today. So I was like, all right, cool. So I just went to this random place and they shaved him off. And so then I rocked.
So you just had a shaved head.
I had a mom cut for a while because they kind of combed him out, but then everyone thought I was a mom, and I was like, oh, dang, I'm 20. So
it kind of looked like a Bieber cut. At
yeah,
one point.
Well, then I got it. Then I shaved it and bleached it. I did the Bieber cut before it was the Bieber cut.
I know, it was just the Sam Moore
cut. You inspired Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but was the motivation behind the dreads like so that you might stand out for college recruiters?
I had already gotten all my offers.
Oh, okay.
And
you just
I had
stoked on them.
Yeah, I had verbally committed like my sophomore year in high school. So I verbally committed and then I got my dreads.
Mm.
And so I remember my coaches came to Newport to do a camp for my high school. And he was like, all right, let's see him. And I pulled him out and he's like, listen, if you can still jump just as high after, then I don't really care what your hair looks like. So I was strutting around that UP Catholic campus with those long dreadlocks.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, because, I mean, in my mind, I'm like, that's smart. Like, if you're, like, an up-and-coming high school athlete, just, like, have a big old mohawk something. Just so you stand out. Like, oh, that dreads. Girl. Yeah, I'd get
a face tattoo. Listen, all you high school kids out there, get a face tattoo. It'll make you stand out.
Yeah.
But no, you won't regret it later in life.
They didn't care. I would get heckled a lot in high school and in college, like when I would play.
I did them for literally, like I said, 6 weeks. It's my signature.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I'm not like my head itched like crazy. I have an itchy head anyway.
I was going to say,
like,
dare I say this, but do you have some dandruff issues beforehand,
wow,
previously?
Gosh, listen to
did
this.
You struggle with that?
Well, guys,
is that a battle you
shut
fought?
Shut up, intern. Go give me a drink. I want a talking rain. That's none of your business.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. Well,
way too personal.
I'm interviewing you here, friend.
Yeah,
what are those
me.
White flakes on the red couch there?
But, gosh.
What kind of shampoo did you use when you had them?
I didn't.
There
okay,
you
well,
go.
There's your
I
side.
Use soap. I use bar soap.
No, see, you got to use tea tree oil shampoo because it's very moisturizing to your scalp. But
I
it
was afraid it would loosen them out.
That's if you use conditioner. You can't use conditioner. I love them.
Well, what would be a bit of advice that you could give out people? They had this expectation and it's not happening for them.
Yeah. Well, it's real. I mean, you can't put it off. It is what it is. You know, we're all dealt our hand of cards and everyone's got their issues and their problems. And so it's real. And I would acknowledge it and I would feel it and I would go through it. But then, you know, you got to work every day. Find your way back to your passion for sure. Yeah. Find your way back. Take your time. We all have to take time, but always find your way back.
The passion for you kind of evolved from playing the game to now just educating the game,
mm-hmm.
you know?
How do you envision those skills transitioning now into being in the mob and helping training these new crews?
Yeah.
Wait, you never said you're in the mob. I knew you were. I thought you were going to say it. But.
Yeah. Oh. Well, she's humble, man.
It's such a cool opportunity. I'm really stoked. I learned a lot about just like reaching different kids. Like every girl on my team this fall was coached a different way. And I think that's so true when you coach a crew. Continuing to be passionate about Dutch Bros. I mean, you have to have your cup so full when you go on these trips because you are just constantly pouring out your love and your hype and you're just stoked on it all the time and you're their leader. You're their fearless leader. You're there to protect them and to show them and to care for them and to keep them humble and stay focused on them and learn to coach each member of the crew differently because everyone responds to different things. I mean, I know that like even just being a team member. As a setter, you're kind of like the captain of your team. You're leading it. And you know that like this hitter, you have to be like, I need you to put a ball away. And then this hitter, you have to be like, your ponytail looks beautiful today. And that's like it, you know, like yeah. Everyone responds differently. And I think being like coaching is being able to pick up how people respond and to be able to coach them and care for them like that.
Well, that's all.
That felt really right.
That felt pretty good.
Yeah.